Hi, Shelley. How you doing?
I am okay, Liz. How are you doing there in Sydney?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you doing there in Melbourne?
Well, lockdown extensions, it keeps going. The numbers don't look pretty. But I think we're doing our best, which is probably what our listeners are doing as well, just their best under the circumstances.
That's it, isn't it? I know in the papers there's a bit of a who's now had the most number of days. Let's not have that competition. Let's not have, that's a race to who has got the biggest pile of poo. We don't need that, do we?
No, we don't need that at all. And on Music Mothers and Others, we're all about supporting, uplifting, celebrating rather than being pulled down in this quagmire of COVID lockdown. But look, I'm so glad that you've called because I hear that you've just done an incredible interview with somebody.
Yeah, so luckily we were able to secure Martha Wainwright, who, if you know the Wainwrights or the McGarrigles, then you know. If you don't know, Google it, my friends. You just be ready. You've got time. You've got a lot of time now, and you've got a lot of stuff to catch up on. So she is the daughter of two very famous folky musicians. She's
Right.
also an amazing artist in her own right. She's also the sister of an amazing folky musician. And her other sisters, she's got, they're just everywhere.
They're like a family folk dynasty.
They absolutely are, but very distinct all in their own right as well. And Martha's new album, Love Will Be Reborn, is all about the next kind of stage in her life.
So she's a woman in her 40s, who, is from this kind of family that writes songs about her. Is she writing songs about her kids too?
Absolutely, yeah. So she's written about her kids. Her kids also feature in one of the title track, Love Will Be Reborn. Both her boys are in that video too. It's very sweet. They're rescuing each other. It's got a King Arthur kind of vibe. It's really cool. And
Lovely.
she spoke about, also industry, and she's a couple of generations deep now. So she remembers what it was like to be the kid whose parents went away, or whose mum went away, or whose aunt went away. And now she's sort of battling with how she does that herself. And making amazing music, she's really clear about saying it's a really big struggle to be a mum and a musician, but she's not going to give up either. She's just got to work out how to do both.
Fantastic. And I imagine that because we know she's not Australian, she's Canadian, isn't she? Yep. So I can imagine she, touring and things like that, being a parent on tour. What do you do with the kids? We've had this question before on Music Mothers and Others, haven't we?
Yeah. And the juggle for someone like her is acute because she's sharing custody as well. So as she says, it's a lot more diary work.
I love it. Well, I'm really excited to hear this interview, Liz, that you've done with Martha Wainwright. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Thanks, Shelley.
See you, Liz. Bye.
Bye. Somewhere in the music industry, between sex, drugs, and rock and roll and the Wiggles, is the rest of us. Music Mothers and Others is an audio parents group, a chance to discuss how parenting fits or doesn't into music industry life. During the series, we'll talk to people from across the industry, artists, promoters, techs, broadcasters, writers, academics, teachers, anyone who has a gig in industry, whatever that means. This very special Out of Session episode is an interview with Martha Wainwright. The Canadian-American singer-songwriter is prolific as a songwriter and performer, as well as part of one of the most loved musical dynasties ever, the Wainwright-McGarrigal families. Although there's no getting away from her name, but she admits to having considered it at least once, instead Martha continues to build on the legacies she's inherited. Her new album, Love Will Be Reborn, is a gorgeous adventure into how things have changed, not always happily, but now how things can emerge if you keep going. It's not all sunshine and roses, but it's not all dark skies and deep gin glasses either. She spoke to Liz during lockdown, and Martha and we can't wait to have her back in Australia when this little virus getting in everyone's way is all sorted out.
I'm in Montreal, exactly. I'm in my house in Montreal, yeah.
I love Montreal. I'm in Sydney at the moment. And we miss you terribly, can I say. The interview that you're doing at the moment is for 2SER, who I don't know if you'd remember or not, but we're a little community radio station who you've very kindly been very generous to each time you've been
to Australia, and we love you. So thank you very much.
Oh, good. Good. I can't wait to see you and come visit you again soon. I know it's going to maybe be a little while, but it'll happen.
Yeah, it's hard. Has Canada had lockdowns in and out at the moment? I'm sorry, I lost track.
It's not what you've been through, you know, in all honesty. There was one more serious lockdown, but, you know, at this point now, you know, schools are going in person, people are out and about, people are restaurants and bars who are, you know, vaccinated and primarily, you know, things are kind of getting back online, and I've been traveling myself. I was in Europe a couple weeks ago, and then I was down in New York last week. So it's different here than I know what you guys are dealing with right now.
That's all right. Look, I would like to say I'm jealous, but I'm not. I'm just thrilled for you. It's good to know there's life on the other side.
Yeah. It feels good to slowly but surely, you know, start working again and getting back to something. And it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
For everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, I mean, and thank you for this gorgeous record and the film clips that I've been able to see and stuff too. Love Will Be Reborn. The clip in particular gets me so much. Can you tell me a bit about that? And is that your boys in there too? You're rescuing them, or they're rescuing you from the big dragon? I love it.
Exactly. We're rescuing each other, you know, in many ways and in life and in the video too. So I put out this record and the record company said, you have to make a video. I said, okay, fine. And I got a video treatment from some company, and it was kind of really blah. I mean, it was fine. It was whatever. And I was having dinner with my kids, and my son, Arcangelo, my eldest son, has been reading a lot of the story of King Arthur and really into that story. And he said, well, can we be in the video? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, he's like, can we do a King Arthur? I was like, sure. You know, so I called up the director and I said, change of plans. Kids are in the video, and we got a theme. And so they adjusted for me and for the kids, because it's nice for me to be able to get the kids involved a little bit in what their mom does, so that they understand, you know, when I go away, what I'm doing, what's happening, and, you know, kind of make sense of, you know, what it is that I do for a living. Hi, I'm Martha Wainwright, and you're listening to Music, Mothers, and Others.
Whether you liked it or not, your family life has been in the music industry before you were able to speak for yourself, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever just sometimes, though, think, I'm just going to have a little bit for me? Were you ever just tempted to change your name to Smith and just go undercover and release something totally different?
Briefly as a young person, certainly, you know, I thought, God, you know, maybe if I would have done better, or people would have thought I was an absolute genius if they didn't know who my parents and my brother were and are. And so I thought, well, you know, I am sort of stuck in this group, this bubble, let's say, you know, this family bubble. And I'm just a part of it rather than allowed to be this singular breakaway person. But then I, you know, admittedly, songs and a song like Bloody Motherfucking Asshole, which was sort of inspired by an argument that I had with my dad, and then other songs on my records that actually, you know, talk about my brother and my mother and then my ex-husband and my children, whatever. I can't escape, or we can't escape our family. And obviously in my case in particular, you know, the music industry and my family are, you know, really seriously intertwined. But what's interesting about it is that we also are very independent, in the sense that we don't write songs together or anything. We sing together, but we all write songs in separate rooms in the house.
Well, that's good. And I wanted to be clear too, it's not that I don't think you're distinct, because it's quite the opposite. You know, like I think that what you bring is so different. And I think about something even like, well, obviously Love Will Be Reborn, because it's kind of poppy and optimistic, but there's so, kind of something dark about it. And I think too about Hole in My Heart, which to me is just, it's such an anti-love song. Like, it's somebody who's a bit broken but is also finding something new. Is that kind of right?
Well, I think, you know, having a really unexpected and really fabulous and great new love relationship, but at the age of 42 or however old I was when I met Nico, is it just a totally different thing than the usual love song that we're used to, this kind of thing of, you know, people in their 20s like, oh my God, does he love me? Does he like me? You know, this is a different thing. It's like, it's that feeling, but also with like, and here's all my baggage that's going to come along with that, you know, and here's all of my problems and here are my, you know, stinky young preteens and, you know, my ex-husband, or, you know, coming to a relationship a bit war-torn in a way, you know, like just damaged, and then saying, do you want to do this part together? Do you want to do the second part together, the second part of life together with our, you know, graying hair or whatever? And it's a different feeling, but it is, in my experience now, as jubilant, you know, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, I like that. As a lady of a certain age, I could resonate with it too. I met my husband when we were in my late 30s and just went, okay, if you don't have baggage, then that's your baggage. Why are you still living with your mother, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So do you mentioned too that you involving your boys now and having them aware of what you do. Do you think the industry, because now you're a couple of generations in, do you think the industry is somewhere that is a bit more family friendly now? Like, do you think it's kind of gotten worse? Like, when everything, you know, when everything opens up again and we're able to kind of live as we did before, do you think that that's the way to do it, or do you think there's a better way?
When I had kids and when I first had kids, my biggest dream in life was to be able to make music as well as be a mom, and sort of to find a way to fuse those things and to be able to do them simultaneously, which there are not that many examples of, and at least of kind of famous people. You know, I'm sure there's thousands and thousands of women that are doing it beautifully, but, you know, we don't have many sort of archetypal female songwriters and art famous people who are also, you know, considered to be great moms too. Oftentimes the opposite, and maybe in a way that's kind of simple, you know, and not properly depicted. I will say though, you know, in all honesty, it's very, very difficult, you know, and obviously being traveling and going playing different venues once your children are in school, it's really frowned upon, you know, unless you want to pull them out of school and bring someone on the road and have a nanny, and that would be awesome, you know, that would be cool, but it's certainly not considered normal. It's certainly considered marginal. In my case, it's more complicated because I'm also in, you know, shared custody with their father. And so that's who is, you know, not necessarily going to make my life that easy. So it is definitely more difficult for me. And so this has been a huge and very painful realization in the last few years of, you know, how am I going to be able to do both and not totally neglect one, you know, either my career or my children. And of course, the children are the most important, you know, so there's a lot of looking at calendars and saying, okay, I got my kids this week, I can't go. Nope, they're gonna have to move that. No, okay, I'm not gonna have the kids. Okay, we got to do that tour because that's really important. It's really important to go to places like Australia, you know, where you can't go for 4 days, you know, and so, okay, I'm not going to see my kids for those 2 weeks, and let's see if there's a way that I can make that up somehow. Mm. It's hard. It is really hard. I will not kid you and your listeners, but I do want to come back to saying, I think it's so fundamentally important to do both, you know, and that's really what I'm getting. Like, I'm not going to stop making music. I'm not going to do that. I have to not only make a living for my children to be able to eat, but also I want them to know that it's possible, you know, and to move towards it being more possible for others.
Yeah. Excuse me if I get a little bit teary. It's not just lockdown and lack of sleep. I've got a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. So I'm thinking something. It
doesn't, it's really amazing, isn't it, that these things, I imagine your mum probably had the same dilemma. Like, it's amazing that we're still having these issues for so long, but I find it really inspiring.
My mom and my aunt, Kate and Anna McGarrigle, they didn't make a record for 9 years because they were at home with their kids. And, that wasn't ideal. You know, they were able to, they worked in the summer. You know, I remember when my mom and my aunt went to Australia, you know, I was about 7 years old, and they came back with, you know, clip-on koalas that you put on pencils and boomerangs and things like that. And it was huge deal. And I stayed with my grandmother, and I was really glad that they went, because although I missed them, you know, they came back happy, exuberant, different, you know, fulfilled. And but that wasn't all the time that they were able to work. And so it is different, you know, if you want to be really present for your kids. It's set up in a way that's really difficult to bring kids on the road and not be considered sort of, you know, a circus thing, you know, where it's bad. So, it has to be done, and we have to keep finding ways to work around that.
Would you consider doing more of the type of work that, you know, lockdown's made us do? Like, I've seen you, I saw you do your virtual Royal Albert Hall from what looked like a beautiful venue. Was it the venue, you own a venue? Like, was it those mm-hmm. types of things would you consider doing more of?
Well, I think, honestly, we're all, as artists and musicians, a bit tired of having to do live streams. And, right. You know, it's showbiz, it's fine, but it's not as connected to the audience. It's been really, you know, I will never tour again like I did in my 20s and 30s when I was, you know, everywhere all the time. That's fine. But it is really a fundamental part of my existence and who I am to get on a plane, you know, which is kind of bad already considering how polluting they are. But get on a plane, go to a city, play a gig, play another city the next night, play another city the next night, get in a car, play another city. It's something that I've done for so long, you know, and it's really how I've built this career, you know, that I have now that I've built over many years. So it's hard to let go, but of that, you know, but we're all in, and I think this pandemic too is causing us all to sort of, you know, we are all rethinking. We're rethinking all sorts of things. But having opened a music venue in Montreal, which I did 2.5 years ago, and really enjoyed that and being more in Montreal and doing shows in Montreal, you know, I'm ready to do some shows in some other places too. You know, you can't just put a backdrop on the Sydney Opera House. It's not the same thing.
No, absolutely. And we do know that. We do know that. But I guess what I'm saying is it's better than nothing. You know?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's for certain. And I think, you know, I stayed busy, as I think a lot of artists did during the pandemic, just like whatever. You would just do whatever you could, you know, like playing songs in your living room, playing on balconies, playing outside, doing some radio, like anything, you know, yeah. Anything. And God knows it wasn't for the money.
So. You mean community radio is not for the money? Surely not.
Hi, I'm Martha Wainwright, and you're listening to Music, Mothers, and Others.
When you were writing this album and you're, you know, juggling all those things and these kind of realizations, was you said that you weren't going to stop, but were you ever tempted? Or did you ever just think, maybe I do just need to put this on pause?
Well, it's been 5 years since I put a record out, so I didn't want to put too much more on pause. I mean, I've been really thinking a lot about a lot of things. There's been a lot of big changes, big divorce, change in family life, you know, and then meeting this wonderful new person and that, and then opening up a club. So it's been a while this time. But I am, you know, forever reminded that I am defined by being a songwriter. You know, I've tried to do the books at my club and I've made soup and served, you know, drinks and, you know, mopped the floor, and that's nice. But I'm, you know, that's not really what I do.
Yeah. You got a haircut and a real job and it didn't suit you, hey?
Yeah. I guess that's what it is. What is it as good as I thought it was going to be?
Mopping the floor.
Yeah.
You mentioned about, you know, involving your kids, and I know that you've written a little bit about them over, I couldn't see anything obvious in this album, but in the last couple, there was the one, was it Everything Wrong, about, you know, coming to motherhood on Come Home to Mother? Come Home to Mother? Yeah.
Everything Wrong. And on this record, I think there's one, well, I know there's one that's really about them and kind of my loneliness of not seeing them all the time, a song called Report Card.
Okay, all right. Do you find, because now that you're writing about them, and I guess we have to, don't we? Like, I joke that I'm writing a book at the moment about popular music and parenting so that I can count my kids on my tax, right? Like, that's just the joke. What do? You lean in or you ignore them completely, and that makes things a thousand times worse too. Like, are you building a musical relationship that way?
I was written about in my parents' songs as a child. And I really liked it.
Right.
You know, I liked being referenced. I liked my name being uttered, or hearing, about a conversation that I would have had with my parents. I appreciated the attention, even though sometimes those songs were difficult, or were a complaint about the other parent, or were talking about divorce often, but I liked being a part of it. I liked being in it, and it felt right to me. And that's, I'm sort of going on that instinct. And maybe, you know, maybe I'll soon start hearing from the kids, you know, don't do that. But so far, they haven't, you know, and if they do, then I'll consider it.
Yeah. It's is it coming back to you? Are they starting to influence you? Are they the age yet where they've got their own taste that they want to push on you?
Oh, a little bit. You know, my eldest is 11, and my eldest loves music and wants to be in the band, so he just wants me to fire the bass player so that he can play the bass. So that's I think that they're just kind of realizing what their mom does, and kind of trying to understand it, you know. And the younger one is 7, and he said, you're famous, or you're in the newspaper, you're on television, you know, obviously because there's been press recently because I put out a record, so that happens, you know. And I think he's kind of shocked by it. But I was like, it's not that impressive, Francis. I'm not that famous.
But it's so funny, isn't it, to see that, you know, to have yourself, I mean, you say you're not that famous, but you've forgotten. To have somebody, you know, to somebody else's perspective must be pretty inspiring too.
Well, I just, you know, I'm happy because I just want my kids to love me, you know. So I miss them sometimes because I don't get to be around them all the time because I share them with their dad. And so I want them to understand, you know, why I'm not there all the time and what it is that I'm doing and why these guitars are hanging on the wall, and to know that it's okay and that they're safe, you know, and that I'm here and that I'm their mom, and but that I also, you know, put on outfits and go out on the road and sign autographs, and but that I'm, you know, I'm just their mom too, you know. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
You're listening to 2SERFM.
That juggle, I kind of, middle of the lake is the one for me that I couldn't decide if I wanted to kiss you or give you a hug and say, are you okay with that song?
Yeah.
That one seemed like it had a lot of that struggle in it. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that song was the written actually during the pandemic last summer, and sort of being, I was in staying on a lake, you know, so which was saving my our asses because we had nowhere to go, and nice to have that. And but really missing work and being able to make music and being able to work again, and is this ever going to happen? And that I knew that music was going to be the thing that was going to save me and save all of us, you know, and pull me and us out of kind of a frightening, you know, pit in a way, the freedom that music has given me. And even though my songs talk a lot about shackles and strife, you know, really the music is very freeing.
Thank you again. And one day we will all be together again, as they say.
Yes. Yes. Soon.
Yes. 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 And a beautiful record. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Martha. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was an incredible interview that Liz has done with Martha Wainwright for us here at Music Mothers and Others. It's the end of season two for us, and this is just a pop-up special out-of-the-box kind of interview that we're bringing to you listeners because we thought you'd be completely fascinated with this incredible performer. So everybody, that's really it for Music Mothers and Others at the moment. We need a break. We're in lockdown, Sydney and Melbourne. So keep on listening to some of our other episodes if you want to head over to our website, musicmothersandothers.com, or keep following us on social media. See you next time.
Can you talk on this one for me?
I can't do it because you can do Spider-Man and Shaman is coming. Because Shaman is coming. It's my favourite song.
Talk right in there. Talk right in that one.
And because you can do it so much. And I hope you're a big mommy to help. And I hope you put on YouTube. And I hope you put on Spider-Man. And Shane is coming because you are a big girl.
Here, can you look in this microphone? Can you look there and talk to like that one?
But you can do radio station.
Radio station, you got to talk right in there, radio station.
But I'm because you are.
Can you talk here? Can you say something for me? Can you say 2SER?
2SER because.
Can you do it one more time? Don't press that one.
2SER.
Right in there.
To this ear.
Very good.
And everyone knows about nursery rhyme you time because I want you to put on Spider-Man. And
can you talk here then?
Because that's the nursery rhyme. Back to you, Emma.
Back to you, Emma. Okay. Can you say bye, everybody? I love you. Right there.
Bye, everybody. Love you.
See you later.
See you later.
Bye.